This is WGRE 91.5 FM, Greencastle, Indiana.
Good evening and welcome to Music for Life, Music from DePauw. This week, we chat with pianist May Pong about her upcoming recital. We introduce you to two new faculty members in the School of Music, Scott Perkins in Composition and Theory and Dan Foster in Jazz Studies. We chat with Scott Spiegelberg about what's on his 5-minute iPod, and we conclude our preview of the upcoming guest artist series, including Project, Time for Three, and the incomparable Canadian Brass. There are lots of exciting things happening in the DePauw School of Music, and we're glad you could join us for Music for Life. On September 19th, we welcome the Project Trio to DePauw. In the morning, they will be performing for us at our regular recital hour on Wednesdays at 10:30 in Thompson Recital Hall. And then they'll run off to Greencastle Middle School, where they're going to perform as we announce formally our adoption of the middle school music program. Then they'll come back to the school and they'll perform a concert at 7:30. And here to chat with me about all of that is our professor of cello, who also teaches courses in entrepreneurship, what is a concert, and improv for classical musicians, Dr. Eric Edberg. Welcome.
Glad to be here, Mark.
This is right down your alley.
Yes, I'm really excited to have them coming because Project Trio, which is Greg Patillo, the flutist, Eric Stevenson, a cellist, and Peter Seymour, double bassist, represent a new and exciting trend in what classically trained musicians are doing to engage new audiences in new ways while maintaining the highest artistic standards.
Right.
So they're all absolutely terrific classical players on their own instruments. And they all love other genres of music, jazz and rock in particular. They also incorporate elements of hip-hop, especially Greg Patillo, who's
invented beatbox fluting.
Beatbox fluting, and I was just looking at one of his videos, which had 27 million views on YouTube.
Yeah, beatbox fluting is kind of rap comes to classical flute. To give you a great example, this is a video game tune from Super Mario Brothers.
What these three guys represent to me is this new trend, and you see this with a lot of young musicians who love classical music, have gotten the kind of rigorous classical training that we offer at DePauw. In their case, they all studied at the Cleveland Institute of Music, and then they took their love for other genres and they've kind of had a melting pot, and
right.
they're coming up with their own style. And it's not a kind of like we sometimes think of, you know, Pops concerts where there's kind of like cheesy arrangements
yeah.
of popular tunes. It's a really authentic intermingling of different elements.
Right. They in some ways they harken back to Jethro Tull with that flute and rock and roll kind of thing, but which is an old time rock group for those of you who are too young to remember. But it's also very cutting edge, where they'll take Tchaikovsky or Brahms or Mozart, Bach, and they find a way to present this material that we know and love in the classical world, but they do it in a way that whether you've ever had any experience with classical music or not, you will love this performance. So that's an example of the inventiveness of the Project Trio. That, of course, is Tchaikovsky, just not in the way you might ordinarily imagine the Nutcracker to sound.
Yeah, I think that's really good. And another thing I'm excited about, the opportunity for our students to interact with them, is that they are committed to doing projects. As a matter of fact, their name, Project Trio, comes from their initial idea of gathering several times a year in a particular city and doing a project that had not only kind of traditional concert performances, but community outreach and educational activities.
Right.
So they have a mission to make a difference in the community apart from going on a traditional concert hall stage.
Right.
So here in Greencastle, we know they're going to do their arrangement of Peter and the Wolf, which becomes a story about bullying for our young friends at the middle school.
Right.
And so I think this idea of doing things that are socially relevant and make an impact beyond just providing a wonderful aesthetic experience is also a new trend that we're seeing among young classical musicians.
And something that we're embracing in the curriculum through your work
Absolutely.
Here at DePauw.
Absolutely, because we... some of the things that I've been involved in when we had on Bach's birthday, we had Bach Everywhere Day,
right.
where we went out into the community. The cello studio put on the Cello Jello free lunchtime concert mm-hmm. at a church in town where we served Jello. And
and that's what we're looking for, new ways to engage audiences
right.
in standard literature and in new literature as well. And what for me is most exciting about Project coming here is that if you've never heard classical music in your life, even on a television commercial, you'll love this. If you are dyed-in-the-wool classical music fan, you will love this. If you are a teenager, you will love this. If you're a College of Liberal Arts student, you will love this. If you are a School of Music major, you'll love this. This is something for everyone because it is such an infectious, joyous performance. And it's here on September 19th at 7:30 in Kresge. And tickets are available on the web. College of Liberal Arts students, School of Music students are going to pack this, I'm sure, but that we'd love to see the community there as well. There'll be plenty of seats and lots of opportunities to hear this phenomenal project come to town. Thanks for chatting with me about it.
My pleasure.
This year, we're happy to welcome three new faculty members to DePauw, and joining us in the music theory composition area is a new professor that has just joined us, Professor Scott Perkins. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
So you're coming to us from?
From New Haven, Connecticut. I finished up my doctorate a year ago.
At Eastman, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right.
And then a busy summer at Interlaken.
Quite busy, yes.
Now just having completed an opera.
Almost completed, yeah.
A 20-minute opera. So tell me about this.
Sure. It was actually a competition that was held by the Washington National Opera. They selected three composers who were either in school or had recently graduated from school for the three commissions of 20-minute operas to be premiered in November.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So you've won a commission with the National Opera to do a brand new opera, and then it's a 20-minute opera.
20 minutes, that's all.
Wow. And so what's the subject?
It's an allegory. It's about Charon, who is the guy who rows people across the river Styx to Hades. And he's completely indifferent to the lives of the people who are on the boats whom he transports. And he's supposed to represent the typical American who is oblivious to what's going on in the rest of the world, or who isn't interested, at least, really affected by what's going on in the rest of the world.
I can't imagine the difficulty level of this. I mean, writing an opera, very difficult. Writing an opera that only lasts 20 minutes, exponentially more difficult because you've got to wrap it all up in 20 minutes. Then you just met your librettist. Unbelievable. So what happened there?
Well, I had heard about this librettist before. We had talked about collaborating on one of his plays. Maybe I would write the incidental music. But that kind of ended up going on the back burner. A lot of other commissions got in the way. And then I was asked to select a librettist for this project, and I thought of him. I really liked his work. But it has been a pretty tight schedule.
Yeah, because now, it wasn't difficult enough. Now the trick is you have to write it in how many days?
Well,
60 days or something, isn't it?
It was supposed to be 60 days, and yet the libretto was kind of delayed. So I didn't get the completed version until about a month ago. So okay. It's been a process.
Yes, it has. So it's almost finished. What's your absolute drop-dead deadline?
The end of the week.
Well, then get off of this radio show and go right. We're welcoming Scott here, and we're glad you could join us at DePauw.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
I'm glad to be here.
Take care. I think the question, what's on your iPod, has become a part of American lore. And here at Music for Life, we've taken a slightly different direction on that question. Our question is, if you were stuck on a desert island and your iPod could only play for 5 minutes, what would be on that iPod? So, of course, we could choose an opera. We could choose a symphony, but those are very long pieces. We're trying to drill down. What is the 5 minutes of music that you would listen to if you were stuck on a desert island? And joining me for this year's first edition of the 5 Minute iPod is our theory professor, Dr. Scott Spiegelberg. Welcome.
Thank you.
Scott was on sabbatical last year. How'd it go?
It was great.
And what were you working on?
I was working on two projects, one on the Dave Matthews Band.
Very cool.
Yeah, very cool. And another project on musical timbre.
Ah, great. And you also keep a blog that's very fascinating.
I do. I have a blog called Musical Perceptions.
And where is that? How do we get to that?
It's musicalperceptions@blogspot.com.
There you go. Some really fascinating stuff there, and we're glad to have Professor Spiegelberg back. But now we've shoved you off onto a desert island and your iPod's only got 5 minutes. Tough question.
Jeez. It's quite a welcome back.
So what can we do here?
Well, thinking about this, being on a desert island, I would want something that's inspiring, something that brings me peace. as I'm regarding the days of, you know, just staring out at oceans and such, and hoping for somebody perhaps to rescue me or at least drop off another iPod. A piece that fits maybe barely within the time constraints is Morten Lauritzen's O Magnum Mysterium.
Oh, man, what a great piece. Yeah. Now, that piece has actually was originally written for chorus.
For chorus.
And then it was transcribed for orchestra, then for band.
That's correct. And that was my first exposure to it, was the one ensemble arrangement of it. And, you know, fell in love with that, and then went back and found the original choral version of it. I have a recording by the Robert Shaw Singers performing. And it was one of my favorite things when I was still living in Greencastle was to go to the Nature Center and walk around on the rim trail listening to Magnum Mysterium.
Oh, around the canyon wall.
Yes,
there.
That's right.
Yeah, terrific. So which version of it would you pick now? Because a five-minute iPod can't hold both the choral and the wind version of it. So
that's true.
Tough.
I think I'd have to go for the choral version, so I'd have that human connection of the human voice to remind me that there is somebody still out there that might be still looking for me.
There you go. Well, we promise, if we put you on a desert island, we will come for you. You just have to listen to the five-minute iPod for a while.
Good enough.
So here we are with Morten Lauritzen's O Magnum Mysterium, and this is the Robert Shaw version, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
On Sunday, September the 9th at 3 p.m., we have an astounding concert in store, a nice recital of piano works by one of our own, our piano professor, Mei Pong. Welcome.
Hello.
Tell us a little bit about this. You've got a great following here. People love to hear you play. I certainly am one of your biggest fans, so tell me what you're playing for us.
It's really going to be an interesting program, and I'm very excited about it. For the longest time, I have felt guilty about not liking the sounds of Chinese music. I am Singaporean Chinese, of course, and so it seems as though, you know, you hear about French nationals playing French music very well, all of that. And so in terms of really Singaporean music, there really isn't. Singapore is a young country, and really we are. I finally decided that it was time. I really should do it. And actually it was Dr. Chen Yi, who was a guest composer here in 2008, who suggested that I do a program of women Chinese composers.
Wow.
So I just decided I'll just do it.
So is it all women Chinese composers?
This program here, yes. Along the way, I discovered many other composers and their compositions that I think really interesting. And so this has been very fun. The downside, again, is that how to narrow down
all that
music to fit into one program for this.
And so who are the composers?
There's a composer, Tan Su Lien, who is Chinese-Malaysian. Another who is Alice Ho, who is from Hong Kong but now resides in Canada. Alexina Louis.
So is this music very similar? Is it very dissimilar?
It's very dissimilar. And like I said, I'm very excited about it, and if I can contain my excitement to play it.
Well, there's a great story that floats around about you, and I've been responsible for telling it too, about the fact that this incredible recital you put on last semester, or I guess two semesters ago, had this remarkably difficult piece, and you had prepared it in 3 or 4 days because the music, you had just discovered the music and couldn't wait to play it, and so you threw it onto a concert at the last minute.
This is our radio show that will be listened to by students. No, I tell my students, really, don't do what I do. I have a hard time deciding because I like many things.
What's really remarkable for our students is that Mei is of such astounding talent that she can take a piece and she gets excited, she starts into this composer, discovers that composer, and at the last minute put together a program that is really flawlessly presented, and we've discovered the final program at the last possible moment.
Well, no, but I mean, again, in all honesty, seasoning is the best thing to do. I have to say, maybe I'm addicted. There's a certain rush that I enjoy, and thus the last minute.
Right. Thing. Well, this is something you will not want to miss. It's on September the 9th, and it is in Thompson Recital Hall at 3 p.m. Thanks for coming in to chat about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been featuring the guest artist series preview for the past 2 weeks, including all of the great concerts that are coming up as part of that series. Time for Three will be performing for us on March 11th at 7:30. And here to chat with me about Time for Three is one of our student producers, Anna Gadula. Welcome.
Hello.
Are you guys fired up about this? Students into this?
I'm sure everyone is, but I'm especially fired up for Time for Three. They're such a cool, hip, new kind of thing.
So tell us who they are.
Time for Three is a trio of two violinists and a double bass. Zach Depew, who's the concertmaster at ISO, he's the violinist. And then his friend Nick Kendall is the other violinist, and Rainin Meyer is the double bass.
Right. Now, Time for Three is a bizarre collection of instruments. It's two violins and a bass. That's not a normal
ensemble. Normal trio, yeah.
And the way they got there is because they were good friends at Curtis. And so this was actually a school group.
Yeah.
The, you know, three friends at school who got together and...
And they just like to do impromptu jam sessions because, you know, they were all talented and... Talented musicians just like to jam out sometimes.
Right. And the funny thing is that Zach is a concertmaster for a major symphony orchestra. I mean, that's a very, you know, serious position.
Yes,
very prestigious place to be. But he doesn't act that way at all. I mean, he's very down to earth. And the music they play is everything from bluegrass to Brahms.
Yeah. And Kanye West. Pop music. Yeah. All sorts of genre-busting goodness from Time for Three.
Thank you.
there are points in their concert where it sounds like a fiddle contest,
mm-hmm.
because there's two violins yeah. there. And they kind of give up, you know, playing the violin and just shift over wholeheartedly to the fiddle parts.
Yeah.
Yo-Yo Ma, who we had last year, just came out with that new album, which is
The Goat Rodeo Sessions.
The Goat Rodeo yeah. Sessions.
Sort of along the same lines exactly. of The Time for Three.
Yeah, it's very bluegrassy.
Yeah.
You know? And the funny thing about it, Yo-Yo Ma says, my gosh, you know, I had a hard time keeping up with those bluegrass musicians. And one of them didn't even read music, but was just an incredible musician.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are all fantastic classically trained musicians, but they choose to play this other kind of music. Now, they're covering a Kanye West tune that's getting all kinds of... They were on CNN for
yeah.
Kanye West. What was that?
Well, the thing about their Kanye West tune, Stronger, it had a lot to do with kind of the whole anti-bully movement. And right. they said in their press release about the music video that they wanted kids who were musicians at a young age to realize that, you know, keep doing your music, and even though not everyone's gonna totally see eye to eye with your passion for music, you will be stronger for it, and you
right.
will
that's
overcome,
right.
you know.
Yeah, because that's the one, if I remember right, that's a video where the kid, you know, is getting
mm-hmm.
tormented
bullied,
for being
yeah.
a musician, being bullied for being a musician, and then somehow or other, Zach gets a note to him that says, see us on stage
yeah,
tonight
yeah,
or
yeah.
something. And the kid goes to the concert, and then he's recognized,
mm-hmm.
and there's
then
time
like
for three.
There's like a huge applause yeah. for him and everything, yeah.
Right, so let this be good warning to all of you middle school and high school musician bulliers that Time for Three is coming to town, and they mean it. These guys are going to be fantastic, and
mm-hmm.
as we've said about so many performers in our guest artist series, it really doesn't matter what your prior experience with classical music is, because this isn't classical music. It's classical music plus. It's
mm-hmm.
often called alt-classical, alternative classical music.
Alternative
but,
classical.
Yeah.
That's good.
And it's this is going to be great. I think the College of Liberal Arts student is going to love this.
Oh,
I think
definitely.
That the School of Music people are going to go nuts about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys are phenomenal players.
And they're just like
down to earth.
Good performers in general,
yeah.
so they'll just be a lot of fun
right.
to watch.
And for the Central Indiana folks, everyone that wants to come out, this is going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
We're going to have parking problems. I think this is I think this is going to be a great show. So here's a bit of Time for Three, and you can see them here on the stage in the Kresge Auditorium at DePaul University on March 11th at 7:30. And tickets are available on brownpapertickets.com. Just search the word DePaul, and you'll see all of the great guest artists coming. Thanks for coming in to chat
yeah,
about that.
Yeah, no problem.
Another of our new faculty members joining us this year in the DePaul School of Music is our new director of jazz ensemble and jazz combos, and that's Dan Foster. Welcome.
Thank you.
Dan is joining us from North Texas.
That's correct.
Now, North Texas is known for a couple of things. One, it's always one of the two largest schools of music in America. This year, it is the largest. And it also has an amazing jazz program. A load of jazz ensembles at North Texas, right?
Yes, there's at least 9 full jazz ensembles. They're based on the time that they meet. They meet from 1 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and that's basically ranging from the top band to the lowest band.
Yeah, so the highest achievement is to make it into the 1 o'clock band, correct?
That is correct.
And you played lead trumpet in the 1 o'clock band.
Yes, I did, for 2 years.
For 2 years?
Yep.
Ah, that's a tough book.
Yes, it is.
And then you also directed both the 7 o'clock band and the 4 o'clock band.
Yes.
A busy man.
I was.
Were playing the bands more fun than teaching the bands, or vice versa? You liked it all, or how was that?
It was completely different. I really liked both of them, I would say, equally as a performer as I am a educator.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And life as a lead player in the 1 o'clock band, you've got to have, I mean, did they ever spell you, or did you have the whole book the whole time? Because you guys play a lot. The 1 o'clock band plays.
Yes, we did. Actually, the last year I was in it, the fall semester, we had 34 performances that semester.
That semester?
Yes.
Wow.
That included a tour to England and Ireland.
Yeah.
And we played at the Guinness Jazz Festival. We were one of the headliners for that.
That's terrific. And so tell me about life here with the jazz ensemble at DePaul. You've had all of what? 1 rehearsal? 2 rehearsals so far?
We've had basically 1 rehearsal.
Yeah.
So far, 1 full rehearsal so far.
And you've got some big things in store. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yes, I do. Well, I'd like to have all my bands play a wide variety of styles of music
mm-hmm.
that ranges from swing to funk to blues. to Latin and fusion.
And you've got two combos as well, right?
Yes, I do.
And you've got the hip thing happening with that first combo, right?
Yes, I do. One of my combos, we're doing the music of Tower of Power.
Speaking of hip, what is hip? Tower of Power. There you go.
Exactly.
So, and you guys will be, both the jazz ensemble and the jazz combo, will be playing DePawpalooza. We've got some exciting things happening with you guys in the community with Jazz as a Duck and at the Swizzle Stick. So there's a lot of cool stuff happening this semester, and we're happy to welcome Dan Foster to DePaul.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We're looking forward to great things. Joining me in the studio is one of our senior trumpet performance majors. This is Travis Miller from Owatonna, Minnesota. Welcome, Travis.
Hi. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for taking a moment to come in and chat with us about the Canadian brass. Now, I'm a recovering trumpet player myself, so we can talk trumpet here, but these guys are pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, this is a great experience to have such a remarkable ensemble come and be able to hear them play.
And you know what's funny for me is that when I first started listening to the Canadian brass, you know, they were older than me, but now all but the tuba player have turned over, and some of these guys are about your age.
Yeah, that's exactly right. One of their trumpet players actually joined the group when he was 20 years old. and so, I mean, that's incredibly...
impressive.
It's impressive, and you might say it's inspiring for music students, but really it's just a kick in the pants. It's like you have these guys coming who, you know, already are really at the top of the peak of their careers, and
already.
It's just like, yeah, it's going to keep me in the practice room for, for the whole semester.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, because these guys really... make it seem so effortless. Not only are they playing just incredibly difficult music, but it just, it's like watching Yo-Yo Ma. You know, when you're watching Yo-Yo Ma play, it's almost as if he's thinking about what he's having for lunch tomorrow. I mean, it seems like there's no effort in that at all. And these guys, from the trumpets to the tuba, they're all phenomenal. Mm-hmm. That is some really tough stuff to
be
playing.
Yeah, I've had the pleasure of playing in a couple really great quintets here. And yeah, that music is some of the most challenging in the trumpet repertoire. It's just very demanding.
And then part of the fun with the Canadian Brass Corps is that they have this great sense of humor. You know, they come out in tuxedos and white sneakers. And, you know, I'm trying to work them into playing Horn Smoke, which is their take on Gunsmoke, you know.
Okay.
It was really funny when Ronald Rahm, one of the original trumpet players, did it because he had a big old gray beard and he comes out in a skirt, you know, an old-time skirt, you know, looking like one of the characters off Gunsmoke. Everything they do is remarkably well played, but they are some really brilliant musicians. This is a clip of them playing some of the most difficult. So we've all heard of the Flight of the Bumblebee, but they do this version, except they don't do it for the bumblebee. They do it for the tuba bee, and the melody is carried by the tuba. So this is a little clip of the Canadian brass doing the Flight of the Tuba Bee. These guys do an amazing variety of music, as do all of our guests this year on the Guest Artist Series. And, I mean, we've all probably got stacks of Canadian brass CDs, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
So who are you into? What other covers have you really liked?
Well, they have some really good Beatles arrangements.
Yeah, you know, they do. They cover the Beatles. They really do stay hip.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite albums is the Bernstein album where they do Make Our Garden Grow and they do a lot of West Side Story. I mean, those guys can cover all kinds of music.
I'm a big jazz guy too. I like listening to jazz, and you know, that's another thing is they have a great Closer Walk with Thee.
Yeah,
and
the way they close every show.
Yeah, yeah. Some of that second line stuff is just some of my favorite music, and
yeah,
it's
unbelievable.
Yeah,
yeah. I remember one day I was in a hotel in Chicago. I was checking in, and I happened to look over, and there was a person with his back to me wearing a tuxedo, and I thought that was kind of weird. And I looked down, and there were white sneakers as well, and then I thought that was weird, and I went up, waited in line. I looked over, and there was another person. I thought, wait a minute, something's up here. And I turned around, and sure enough, the entire Canadian Brass was in the lobby, and they stood up on chairs, and they played Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
Oh, wow.
And they were advertising that they were playing with the CSO that night, so they were letting everybody know they were in town.
That's awesome.
But, and perhaps one of their most famous works, and the one that we'll close with here, is one by J.S. Bach. So this is the Toccata and Fugue in D minor, the famous thing that you would imagine to hear on an organ. They're pulling off with a brass quintet. It's a remarkable feat, and this is going to be a remarkable concert. Thanks for coming in to talk to me about it, Travis.
Yeah, thank you.
That concludes this week's episode of Music for Life. You can always contact us at musicforlife@depauw.edu. Our student producer is Anna Gatdula. I'm Mark McCoy, Dean of the School of Music and the host of Music for Life. And our show is produced and recorded by Matt Champagne. Have a good week. Thank you.
It's Music for Life.